Would you stand with me and would you honor our dear sister? Come on up. Bless you.
Boys, but I'm supposed to come now, right? Oh, would you just double that up and give Jesus a big hand clap of praise? Come on. Grace House. Oh, Jesus, every clap is yours. Every praise is yours. Yours in every way, God. Let's just break it over the top. Lord, it's your glory, your praise, your house, your worship. Nothing but you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, God. Just lift your hands. Let's worship him. There's nothing like you in heaven or earth. You amaze us. You thrill us. We desire your presence. It's what we drove to this building for this morning. We came to be with you. We came to hear from you. We came to hear your voice and be changed forever by it. We glorify your name, Holy Spirit. You speak and say whatever you want to say. Give us ears to hear it today. Give us hearts to receive it in Jesus' mighty name. And we say amen. Give him one more hand. Nothing like him. He's good. He's good. You may be seated. Oh, it's so good to be back at Grace House. Wow. Look at your new house. I haven't seen it until, when did you actually move in? 6 months. Well, it's been too long since I've been here. I just feel like I've come over to the relative's house, some kinfolk's house, and they got a big new house and a big new living room. It's beautiful. What about your location? I mean, this is amazing. When we pulled up today, I thought, Lord, you are something else. He just knows right where to put you, doesn't he? In the middle of a harvest field that's ripe and ready to harvest, filling this room with laborers. I pray that you'll be out of room before you know it. I know that doesn't sound good for a building project just finished, but Lord, just fill the house to overflowing in Jesus' name. And Lord, and even the increase of the expansion that you're getting ready to do, I know that's in the dream stage and the vision, but we just pray, God, accelerate it. For the days that we're living in, you are needed. This city needs you. And, you know, I was thinking a few minutes ago, Muscle Shoals, this area, Florence, this whole Quad City area, there's something on this place, isn't there? Prophetically, you've got a major history. And then I was looking around just thinking about these great men of God and women of God that the Lord has sent to this region. Now, is this mic okay? Am I popping? Am I okay? You tell me if I need to change or anything. I'm all fancy this morning. I don't use these very often, this little ear thing, but I'm pretty impressed by it right now, just to be able to talk without my hands. So anyway, I was thinking about Pastor Doc Shell and June. Wow. These great faithful men and women of God. You know, Pastor Eddie and Mickey, how I honor you today. Oh, that God has sent these people to this region. And there's just a rich history here of a lot of sowing in the soil of this area, men and women of God. And let's just declare that for the Quad Cities, for Florence, Alabama, for Muscle Shoals, Sheffield, Tuscumbia, that this is the day of harvest for this region. Come on, let it be, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, an invasion of the kingdom of God in northwest Alabama. We agree for that. Just an invasion of a revival and a moving of the Spirit of God. We believe for that, don't we? In the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you. My family has history here, too. My Uncle Richard and Aunt Jen pastored a church here in Florence. How many years, sis? About 20 years they pastored. So our family has seed in the ground here too in the spirit. So what a day to be alive. I'm excited about this day. I'm stirred. Even though when you watch the news, you just think, what in the world is going on? It's unlike anything we've ever seen, and it seems to be accelerating quicker than we would have ever imagined. I think I've got an eye on the harvest field and an eye on the eastern sky. You know what I mean? But in the middle of it all, and even in the darkness, that you just see trying to invade the land, I see God on the move. And I sense Him moving in supernatural ways, speaking to us to not be overwhelmed by this darkness. That would never be His will for us, His sons and daughters, to be overwhelmed by the fear or the darkness that is trying to abound and take over. That would never be the desire of our Father. He would want us to keep our eyes on Him right now. That's what we'll talk about a little bit. And also to be encouraged in the ways that we do see Him moving. And it's going to increase. If we handle this rightly, we could be the generation that ushers in the second coming of the Lord. I believe that. And I want to be that. I don't want to have to just be and have another generation pass. I'm just like, Lord, let us be the generation that just seeks Your face in prayer and faith that brings Him back. But also, you know, I was encouraged a few weeks ago. What was it? I don't know. Maybe in January, February, I've kind of lost track of time. Maybe February, when God began to move at Asbury. Wasn't that something? We heard the reports of a normal chapel day in a Methodist university, Methodist college. And these kids are worshiping the Lord. Not even many kids there. And the Spirit of the Lord moves into Asbury. Oh, I feel it when I say that. And then, I mean, it was so supernatural that tens of thousands of people, I don't know the final number, I'd say 50,000-ish, I guess, something. I know I had friends that went. Did any of you go to Asbury? So it was glorious. I was told that it was just like the presence of God that was there on that campus. And then not only was it Asbury, but then you begin to hear what happened at Asbury was just like an outpouring of God that just began to spread out and splatter out to other universities, which I thought it was interesting that it was universities where you begin to hear of this supernatural breakouts. Because this generation ministering to this generation, I'm talking about Gen Z, ministering to Gen Z was very powerful. At the ramp in Hamilton during that very same time it was breaking out at Asbury, our students, the same week, were having our normal chapel. And it was actually their prayer service. They pray from 8 to 9 at the Ramp School of Ministry. And our students were praying, and all of a sudden the same thing, just an unusual. God's always there, but it was an unusual like manifestation of God in the room. And they called me about noon and said, Miss Karen, we think you might need to know what's going on. They said, we can't do classes. They said, the kids can't even leave the building. Oh, I feel the Lord. And they said the Spirit of the Lord has so moved in. They got our students, our 200-plus students in Hamilton at the ramp, just doing normal prayer in the morning, 8 to 9, went 13 hours without stopping in worship and in prayer. 13 hours. They just nonstop. And for 3 days, those kids We're just in an unusual presence. Anyway, I just felt like all of that was so significant to us to know that God is wanting to move. And God is just looking for people that He can move through. And that we would put faith on this. Because right now, in the middle of this moment, we have a decision to make as the church. I don't want to just go back and say, well, wasn't that an awesome historical event for Asbury? Now we can write that down in the history books that God came to Asbury. No, I don't believe God ever really desires to just come to His people one time and then let that be history. Come for about 2 months or, you know, a week or two or revival, and then that's history and go back to normal. Can't there be a move of God that would be so significant that it would just go from glory to glory to glory to glory to the second coming of the Lord? Come on, can we just put faith on that and believe for that? We pray, God, let this break out at the University of North Alabama. What about a move of God in this region until every high school, every college campus in this region is moved by the Spirit of God? If we will do this right and have faith to believe for that, I believe we can see it. That's why I'm saying we have some decisions to make too. I think we are at a pivotal place right now for our nation. It's major. I was reading this morning early in my own prayer time, 2 Chronicles 7:14, where God was saying, it's an interesting passage actually before it. This is not my message, and Karen, you do not have time to go here. But just since I'm already going, it was just interesting this morning. I was just kind of backing up. I was reading all over 2 Chronicles this morning in chapter 7. And I was just reading where the Lord spoke to Solomon. I've heard your prayer. He says, at times I might shut up the heavens so that no rain falls, or command grasshoppers to devour your crop, or send plagues among you. Now, God said that. And why would he say that? He was talking about when people sin, then there's going to be destruction, because the wages of sin is death. It's the law of God. So it's what happens. It's the laws that he has set in motion. The wages of sin is death. So when there's sin and idolatry, then you're opening the door to judgment, to plagues, to things that are happening, darkness, lawless. You're opening the door to all that with judgment, right? So God says, these things may happen. He says, the heavens shut up. Grasshoppers devouring crops. That sounds like economic stuff. Plagues among you. Then he says, but then, say then, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. What people? My people. Then if my people, he said, will begin to pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. What hope is there in that for America this morning? Amen? We are a nation in trouble. 60 million children dead through abortion. A sexual perversion that's like a plague across our land right now. So we are at a pivotal point. We are at a crossroad of decision. I'm talking about God's people. We will either just sit here and say, oh, just let darkness do its thing. It's just what darkness does. Or if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and start praying and start seeking his face. Come on, turning from all wicked ways. And then he will hear from heaven. He's going to hear us. And he can come. I'm not giving up on America this morning. I still believe, Lord, if I'm standing here, then I'm going to believe for revival and a move of God in America. If my heart's still beating, I'm going to believe God, that God can change things. So when revival broke out at Asbury, it intrigued me to begin to look back into history a little bit at another revival that took place in November of 1949. I think I've heard Pastor Eddie talk about this a little bit. And you know exactly what it is. It's the Hebrides Revival. Right? The Hebrides Revival, Pastor Doc Shell, I know you would know about this too. But I've never really studied a whole lot about it, heard about it for many years. But in November 1949, on some islands called the Island of Lewis, just off of the coast of Scotland, there was a move of God that started in 84. They were sisters. Peggy was totally blind. Christine had crippling arthritis. And as I began to look into this, I felt led of the Lord to go study this when he was moving in Asbury, and I began to study this. Now, listen to this. Here's what history said about them. It said that these two women became greatly burdened because of the appalling state of their parish. They said not a single young person attended public worship services or church. Listen to this. It said they were troubled by a growing trend of young people toward worldliness. Well, it became clear that an outpouring of God's Spirit in revival was the only hope to supernaturally reverse the situation. Did y'all get that? These two women, 82, 84, one blind, one crippled, were appalled at the condition of their church, that not one young person was attending. They were greatly troubled by the growing trend of worldliness in the youth of their generation. And they realized that a supernatural outpouring of God was the only hope to reverse the situation. So when they realized it, here's what they decided to do. They decided to start praying, the two of them, twice a week on Tuesday night and on Friday night from 10 p.m. to 3 to 4 a.m., 6 hours, twice a week, Tuesday nights and Friday nights. 6 hours praying for one thing. And here's what history said. It said that they had found the scripture. Whoa. Isaiah 44:3. I will pour water on him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. Now, that's all you need. You need a heart that is moved and stirred. Then you need the combination of that with this word. Because this word is living. It does not return void. This word is alive. It is a voice on these pages. It is not some boring history book. Come on. It is not some lifeless book. This book has a voice written on every page. And this book is full of the promises of the living God of the universe. And this book is ready, but only activated by faith, period. So that book can just lie there dormant, full of everything we need, but it will just lay there in our houses until we take it by faith and begin to believe what it says, like Peggy and Christine did, and say, I will pour water on him that is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. God, you said it, and I believe it. And for 6 hours, twice a week, they prayed, 12 hours a week, one thing, praying for the condition of their nation, praying for the condition of their young people, praying that verse right there, saying, God, if you said it, it can be. Now, here's what history says happened. It said that they, one night, Peggy, the one that was blind, had a vision. She saw the church of her fathers crowded with young people, packed to the doors, and a strange minister standing in the pulpit. She was so stirred by the vision that she sent for her parish minister, the pastor, and she asked him to call the elders to pray with them. So after her vision, she gets her pastor and tells him what they were doing. History said that he was a great man of God and a great man of prayer. So Peggy asked her pastor to join with her and her sister. And they would pray the same time of the day, 10 p.m. to 3 a.m., twice a week, for the same thing. She gave them their verse. You go study it for yourself in the details. The pastor took 7 men, and they began to pray in a barn while Peggy and Christine prayed in their little cottage. Same time. Whoa. That pastor and those 7 men were praying the same verse. I will pour water on him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. After several weeks turned to months, twice a week, 6 hours a time. One night, one of the elders that was praying in the barn with the men, they said he began to pray out of Psalms 24. Who can ascend the hill of the Lord? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, no idols and no deceit. They said that that night, as that man began to pray, that suddenly he turns around to the men and he just says it like this. He said, Lord, slain in the spirit. And here's the way Duncan Campbell wrote about it in his book. He said it like this. He said, when he said that, when that happened, quote, the power of God swept into the parish. And an awareness of God gripped the community, such as hadn't been known in over 100 years. Duncan Campbell said, an awareness of God, that is revival. Come on. Oh, I love that. That as these men prayed that prayer, the bowls of intercession with Peggy and Christine praying here, those men praying in the barn, after several months, twice a week, 12 hours a week, those bowls of intercession started filling up. And when they got to the full tipping point and they begin to tip over and the Spirit of God rushes through the whole community. And I love what it said. An awareness of God gripped the people. Here's what they said the next day. He said, the next day the looms were silent. Little work was done on farms as men and women gave themselves to think about eternal realities. They went to find the minister that was in her vision. The long story short, they found a young man named Duncan Campbell that launched them into a revival that lasted over 4 years. I just love the fact that it just said an awareness of God gripped the community. Because when you study it, They said one night, as these men, right in the very beginning of the revival, when it first broke out, they said that one night they as they were in their church, that with no social media, no phone, no television, no big announcements, radio, telling people, oh, come to our church, we're in revival. They said the Spirit of God gripped people lying in their beds to the point that without anybody even telling them what was happening, conviction gripped them so much in their homes that they got up out of bed, put their clothes on, and just said, we've got to get to the church. One night they opened the front doors of the church, and after 10 o'clock p.m., they said over 600 people, they said, was standing outside the front doors, drawn there only by the Spirit of God. Come on, if it happened then, do you believe it can happen now? An awareness of God. Not even people in the church. They weren't even being talked to. It was just something gripped the community. All of a sudden, God was among them. All of a sudden, in the plants and the offices and the schools of the community, God was among them. God began to convict them and draw them to himself. Why? Because Peggy and Christine said, we're not too old to pray. Come on. They said, we're not too old. They didn't decide, you know what, I'm 80-something now. I'm just going to wait for Jesus to come. Or I'm blind and crippled, and they can get the young people to do it now. I'm not me. Come on. No, 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 no. Why did God grip a community? Because they saw the need and decided to do something about it. Why does this matter to us? Because in 2023, our nation is in trouble. That's why we've got decisions to make, just like they did. Our nation, our cities, our families, our children are in trouble. And just like Peggy and Christine, we have some decisions to make. Yes, we. Say we. That's right. Why did I pull in you into this with me? You and me, we. I pulled you into this because you matter. Come on, you matter, Esther. That means men too. We have to be men named sometimes, so right now you can be Esther. Because you matter, Esther. That's right. Esther, your nation's in trouble. Esther, your family's in trouble. Esther! Don't get too comfortable in that palace. I have an assignment from the Lord concerning this. A few months ago, the Lord spoke to me and said, I'll be sending you certain places, and the places that I send you over this season right now, he said, I'm going to be sending you as Mordecai to go find Esther. Come on. I came to Florence, Alabama. I came to Florence, Alabama this morning to look at you and say, is Esther here? Esther! Are you here this morning? In Esther 4, I love what Mordecai says to Esther in Esther 4. He says to Esther, Mordecai looks at her in that day when her people are about to be destroyed. And Mordecai looks at Esther and he says, Esther, if you keep silent at a time like this, deliverance for the Jews will arise from some other place. But you and your family, Esther, will be lost. And then he says, but who knows? But what you were brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. Come on, can you believe that this morning? Can you hear that call this morning? That's why I had to tell you today, this thing that you've been going through, this thing that you've been dealing with in your own personal life, in your family, in your grandchildren, is so that you understand, like Esther, how much you matter in this day. It was a tough time for Esther, even though she was in a palace. That was a tough, hard place. But it had to do with her assignment. And a lot of the things that you've been dealing with and going through in your life has to do with your assignment and your purpose in the earth. And the Lord brought me to Florence to remind you of that. Some of you have been battling family issues in your family, conversations that are devastating. So much so that for some of you, even years ago, you just numbed yourself away from that because it hurts too bad. You've been immobilized. paralyzed from the pain of some of it. Some of you dealing with sicknesses that just won't go away. Some of you just been battling this morning in ways that nobody even knows about, with thoughts. It's almost unspeakable. Where the enemy's just been trying to tell you, you don't matter. It'd be better for you just to go into heaven, you don't matter. After all, the kids don't come much. And you don't hear from your family very often. Why? It'd just be better just to go into heaven, nobody sees you. That's a lie of the enemy. You matter. You matter. And that's why you've been dealing with this. That's one of the reasons that the enemy has been fighting you so hard, is because of how much you matter. And the Lord brought me this morning to remind you, it's part of my assignment in the season of my life that I am in right now, is to wherever He tells me, I'm supposed to wake up His intercessors and tell them how important you are right now, how valuable you are to the advancement of the kingdom of God, how needed your prayers are. And what makes you dangerous to the kingdom of darkness? It's because of what you carry. Come on, I know that it'd be easier for you and probably better off to just go on to heaven, because heaven's a lot better than here. But listen, honey, if your heart's beating and you're in this room this morning, it's because God needs you on this planet more than He needs you right now in heaven. He needs you here. He needs you fulfilling the purpose of God and advancing the kingdom of God. Come on, you matter right now. And don't ever think you don't matter. I've told the Lord, let me serve you all the days of my life. God, I don't want to just be on this earth filling space and just doing nothing till Jesus comes. Lord, I want to fulfill all the way. Every day of my life, every moment of a beating heart, I want to advance the kingdom of God. If I can't get out and preach, I can stay at home and pray. Come on. Oh, you matter. How many ways do I have to say it? You matter. You matter. You matter to your family. You matter because nobody can pray for them like you do. It's no wonder the enemy's trying to separate you from them. Because if he can get you so hurt at them that you will shut them away to protect the pain of your own heart, maybe he'll stop you from praying for them. But nobody can pray for your family like you pray for your family, because love prays different. Come on. Oh, you got to hear me this morning. Love prays different. And the enemy's scared to death of you. That's why he keeps trying to tell you, you don't matter. You don't matter. They don't care about you. Nobody cares about you. It's a lie from hell. Let me show you. Let me show you why the enemy's scared of you. Let me just show you a little glimpse of what the enemy sees when he sees you praying. Put up my picture of my little Ukrainian lady. Right there. That's what you look like to the devil when you pray. Yes. You know, see, the truth is, I got that picture off Fox News, because when the Ukrainian war first broke out, you know, so many people that were suffering and innocent in this horrible war, for all the reasons of it. What does that matter for them? They're losing their land and their families, and they're suffering innocent people that are suffering for these horrible mistakes of people. But this lady, whenever all the other Ukrainian people were fleeing the country, understandably, she said, if you studied it, she's a Ukrainian grandmother who said she wasn't leaving because she was going to stay and pray for her. I mean, go and stay and fight for her children and her grandchildren. That's a real picture of her in the corner right down there training with the rest of the men. I love that. And when you look at that, you got to realize something. If a Russian soldier looks at that woman, he's not going to be too scared of her by herself. If a Russian soldier looks at that woman and she's just sitting there all by herself, that there's no concern to any Russian soldier. She is of no threat. It's not the woman that is the threat. It's that AK-47 that she's holding in her hands that'll make any Russian soldier shake in his boots. And not just that AK-47, it's the resolve in her heart. Come on. It's the love that she's got for her family that says, I'd rather give my life than walk away from this. Come on, you can put that down now. Oh, come on. That's what the enemy sees when he sees you praying. He doesn't see an AK-47. He sees what 2 Corinthians 10 says about you, is that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Come on. But they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's what you carry. You're completely covered with the armor of God. When the enemy looks at you, he sees you armored. Come on. He sees you armored from head to toe. He sees you walking with the blood of Jesus, the word of God. You're a walking arsenal. It's no wonder the enemy fears you. Am I coming off a little too harsh this morning to you? I'm on fire with this because I believe it. And I ain't got time to play pretty church. I've got to have know this morning that you hear me. Do you hear me? Okay, I'll try to quit yelling. Who said that? I'm going to find you. Glory to God. There you go. I just need one in agreement with me. That's all I got to have. Come on. Just give me one more in agreement. Hallelujah. Yes. Come on. In Jesus' name. Thank you, God. The power of agreement. Hallelujah. Oh, Spirit of God. Spirit of God. We say yes, God. Lama, thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. All of just an agreement is powerful. Peggy and Christine believed that's what they carried. They believed that they could make a difference. Put up a picture of the Hebrides women. There they are. That's Peggy and Christine, an actual picture of them. And that's Duncan Campbell standing between them. Think about that. Those two women birthed a revival that shook a nation. Come on, y'all. They mattered. They were fought by the enemy too, blind and crippled. They mattered. The enemy tried to stop them, but being blind didn't stop her and being crippled didn't stop her. Come on. They just didn't let it stop them. Say out loud, say, I have no excuse. I don't either. I'm with you on that. I don't either. They believed, you can take it down, honey. Thank you. They believed that God was the only hope for their community. They remind me of the women in Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. I love these verses. When my daughter was gone, I lived on these verses right here. Jeremiah 31, verse 15, it says this. This is what the Lord says. A cry was heard in Ramah. Deep anguish and bitter weeping. Rahab weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted, for her children were gone. But thus says the Lord, do not weep any longer, for I will reward you. Oh, I feel this for somebody in this room. Your children will come back from the distant land of the enemy. Yes. For there is hope in your future. Your children will come again to their own land. Who wants to receive that promise? Take it right now in Jesus' name. Go ahead, I just take that. We declare that prophetically over you this morning in the name of Jesus. We declare your children will come back to their own border in Jesus' name. We declare it. We believe it is done in Jesus' name. There's hope in your future. Now, there's two keys in this that's huge for us this morning. When I read that, I think of Christine and Peggy, but I think of us too. Two keys that we've got to notice in that little passage. First of all, a cry was heard. That's how it started. First, the Lord said it. The Lord said, a cry was heard. That's God speaking. I heard somebody's cry. You got to take note of that. The cry comes first, and then the thus saith the Lord. The cry is first. showing the importance of you in your prayers, showing the importance of your role in this. You call first. You say, I've already prayed. Pray again. You say, I've been praying for years. Keep praying. It's been 10 years. Keep praying. A cry was heard. And that's the way God has set this thing up. A cry was heard first. It's the way God moves. Jeremiah 33:3, you call unto me and I will answer you. You ask and then you receive. You seek. You seek. Find. You knock and keep knocking, he said. And then the door is open. In other words, God's saying, you do your part. I'll do my part. If God says, if you will, I will. God says, if my people will, I will heal their land. Our move is always first. Do you get that? John Wesley said it like this years ago, and I never forgot it. I read it and never forgot what John Wesley said. He said, God does nothing in the earth except in response to prayer. Whoa. You can take that home and chew on it, because I'm probably like a lot of you. When I first heard it, I didn't believe it either. I thought, I just don't know if I believe that. You take it home and think about it for a while and go read this Bible, and you're going to come back and know it's the truth. God does nothing in the earth except in response to prayer. God moves when we pray. And I don't have time to preach that sermon this morning, but it's true. God moves when we pray. A cry was heard first, and then the response was given. The second part that's huge for you today is, the second part is, a cry was heard, deep anguish and bitter weeping. Rahel, weeping for her children, look at this phrase right here, refusing to be comforted. That's gigantic for every praying mother in this room, for every praying father in this room, for every praying grandfather and grandmother, for every praying wife or husband that's believing for a spouse. Any of you believing for something that is impossible in the natural realm, how do you receive it? Cry was heard, prayer. Second part, refusing to be comforted. In other words, I'm never giving up. Period. End of story. I'm breathing because I matter in this situation in prayer. So I'm never giving up to the day I die. And you know what? If I am believing for something and I don't see the manifestation of it before I go to my grave, then I'm here to tell you this morning that you go to your grave believing it. Come on. If you prayed for it 37 years and you never saw its manifestation in this life, then you go to your grave believing it. Come on. Because what happens is, if you have to die and you're still believing when they lower your body in that soil, then all the prayers you prayed will be left behind. Still working, still working, still working, still working, still working. Your faith will be working, working, working. I refuse to be comforted. You got to make up your mind in this thing. I refuse to be comforted. That's what Peggy and Christine did. They were appalled by the condition of their church. They were appalled by the condition of the young people of their nation. And they refused to be comforted about it. We got to make up our minds right here and right now. When we look at our nation, we got to say, this is not okay. Not okay. The things that's happening right now, that's being unleashed on America and the nations of the earth, now that this culture is trying to tell us it's okay. It's not okay. I refuse to be comforted about it. I refuse to be talked into changing my mind. Come on, even a lot of the church is trying to convince us, oh, it's okay. No, it's not okay. If it's against this word and what God says about it, it's not okay. Come on. This is the standard I live by. This is everything we believe right here. If God is not okay with it, I'm not okay with it. I don't care what anybody says. I don't even care if it comes from a pulpit. If God is not okay with it, I'm not okay with it. Come on, you got to make up your mind. I refuse to be comforted. I refuse to be talked out of it. Make up your mind. I'm going to make up my mind. It became clear to Christine and Peggy that an outpouring of the Spirit of God in revival was the only hope to supernaturally reverse this situation. When you look at your family and you realize there's the only hope for my family is a move of God to supernaturally reverse my family, then you got to look at your family like Peggy and Christine did. You got to look that situation over. You got to refuse to be comforted. Now, I'm going to have a little help here, and I don't know how to get down without going the long way around town. I'm going to need a little helper. Let me see. I saw somebody. Okay, I see him. See that little girl with the pink hair bow? That precious little girl you're holding? See that young man sitting right there next to her? Yeah, you. Come up here and help me. I need a volunteer. And I just spotted him a while ago, and I thought, I think that's my boy. Come on, sweetheart. All right, we're going to wait you out. Going to make up our mind today. Say, I'm refusing to be comforted. Come on, sweetheart. Just go up those steps all the way around. We're going to make you take the long trip too. Thank you, Lord. This is important for you to know how much you matter in your role in this hour right now. That's why God sent me here today. What's your name?
Isaiah.
Isaiah. Oh, it's a good name. Yeah, that's a good name. All right. God knows just who he's picking, doesn't he? So Isaiah is standing here this morning to represent the one you're believing for. Now, he could also represent a situation in your life that's impossible. But let's just in particular represent somebody. How many of you are praying for someone you love that's not right with God? They're not right with God. They're not walking in the will of God, all right? Well, Isaiah's going to represent them for you, all right? Now, I want you to bring me some chains, Katie. My granddaughter, Katie, both my granddaughters, Annalise, stand up and wave at these people. Stand up. And this is Katie. Casey, Dawson, Lindsay, these are their girls. And they are cousins, by the way, of Pastor Eddie, in case y'all know. Just needed to know that. But that's right. Those are my granddaughters, and we are kin. This chain right here is going to represent the bondage that the enemy is trying to keep this generation in. Now, Isaiah, it's heavy, but sin is heavy, so it just is. So there you go. It just represents the heaviness of it. Let's just call it addiction. Let's call it deception. Let's call it sexual confusion and gender confusion and perversion. Let's call it pornography. Let's call it all the different things that is so gripping and weighing on this generation. That's what these chains represent. And as moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas or a spouse, if you're believing for a spouse, we need to look at like what Christine and Peggy did. We got to look at the situation and go, that's not okay. I mean, you just need to look at it really good and just say to yourself, you know, now I'm going to, like, I remember when my daughter Lindsay was going. Now, we've talked about that in the time past. When my daughter Lindsay walked out of the will of God for her life, left her family, left her ministry. My world was upside down for a few years. Pastor Mickey and Eddie know. And I mean, I had some decisions to make too. Because when I had to look at my daughter, and I remember this, just looking at her thinking, God, nothing about this looks like your will. And I've got to make up my mind right now about what I'm going to do about this. Because people were telling me, concerned about me, not caring. You know, you're going to have to go on with your life. She's going to make her own decisions. And you've got to let her make her decisions. And you've got to go on with your life and not let it destroy you too. You know, you're just going to have to accept this and learn how to accept this and move on that she's made these decisions with her life. Well, as a parent, how do you just walk away from a child drowning and say, I've got to figure out how to go on with my life? You know, what in the world are you talking about? Now, I had to look at my daughter and say, now, God, this looks like what the devil wants to do. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. This looks like Satan's will, not your will. So, God, I've heard what they said, and he said, and she said, and everybody said, God, what do you, God, have to say about my daughter? What do you, God, have to say about this situation right here, God? You got to make up your mind that when God is involved, his word is the only thing that really matters. And you got to make up your mind, too. I refuse to be talked out of it. Because people will try to tell you, oh, now, honey, that's just what kids do when they're this age. You know, they get in college. They're going to sow their wild oats. That's what boys do. Boys just watch porn. That's just what they do. You're going to have to make up your mind whether you're going to be comforted out, whether you can be talked out of your concern, whether or not you can be talked out of your spiritual grief, whether somebody can just talk you out of being stirred in your spirit. Make up your mind. I refuse to be comforted. It may be so for other people, not my son. I'm not going to accept it and say it's okay. It's not okay. It may be what they call normal for other people, but in my house, it's not okay. Say it's not okay. Say it's not okay. Say, I'm not going to be comforted. Say, I'm not going to be talked into it. So you go to God and you say, God, what do you have to say about this? Now you got God involved. That's a good thing. As soon as you look at it and go, that's not okay, then you say, what do you have to say? Everybody else said this. What do you have to say? As soon as you say something to God, he's got something to say back. So I need God to get involved. Okay? I need a God right now. See that gentleman in the black shirt? You got a black shirt on. You got a gray beard right there. You got silver kind of hair. No offense right there because mine's silver too, but I color it. Come on. Would you come up here and help me? I hope you don't mind, sir. I just look for somebody that looks strong and protective. So I mean that very complimentary. So come up here and help me out. All right. Thank you. I know you're a little bit put on the spot, but and God's big role to fill. But you just flow with me and we'll be all right. And as soon as you start praying, honey, God's just gotten the picture. Sir, if you'll just come stand right here. All right. Thank you for doing this. He's perfect. That's just what I was looking for. All right. God just got involved. I just went to God and you just went to God and said, God, what do you have to say? Now then you got God involved. You got the bondage of the enemy for the one you love. Now what happens? Now with you, God, you just reach out to him. Reach out. Just one hand. That's right. Now the problem is, see, God loves him or her more than you do. That's my hard to believe, but it's true. God loves them more than you do. God wants them delivered more than anybody else, even more than you. He paid the greatest price of all. But the problem is there's a big gap right here. Son, just come stand right here. Right there, baby. Thank you. There's a big gap. Now you got to make up your mind, okay, I'm looking at this situation. God's not okay with it. So if God's okay with it, I'm not okay with it. And with this big gap right here, if God's not okay with the gap, I'm not going to be okay with the gap. So this is where you come in. Because Ezekiel 22:30 said, when Israel had sinned and they were in bondage to their sin, God said, judgment is coming to Israel. Now Ezekiel 22:30 said, so what did God do? He said, I searched for a man. I searched for a man. I needed somebody to just stand in the gap, to make up the hedge so that the land would not be destroyed. But I found no one until the land was destroyed. In other words, it wasn't God's will for him to be destroyed, but it wasn't God's will for judgment to come and destroy the land, but he was looking for somebody. Now, in Genesis 18, he found Abraham that was an intercessor for Israel. And in Exodus, you got Moses that's an intercessor for Israel. So sometimes when God's looking for a person, he'll find them. But I just wonder, 2023, what's going to happen? But our nation, because, well, honey, I'll tell you one thing. He can also represent America. And in the day that we're living in right now, I believe the eyes of the Lord are roaming to and fro, searching for anybody that can stand in the gap and make up the hedge. And this is where you come in for your family. What God is looking for, if he can find a Peggy and a Christine or a person in Florence, Alabama, to say, God, I'll be the one. And an intercessor looks like this. They take the hand of God. They take the hand of the one they love and they stand right here in the gap making up the hedge. God, I'll be the one. I'll be the one you're looking for, God. I'll be the one, God, that'll fill the gap. See, God can't reach them because of sin. It's sin. So God's got to have somebody, an intercessor. Jesus did it ultimately for all of us. But now God looks for somebody that stands in the gap, making up the hedge in prayer, decreeing God's word, because that's what you do. That's what you do. Band, you can go ahead and come. What you do is you stand right here, and you say it like this. The intercessor's praying, 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 decreeing, God, I believe it, I believe it, I believe your word. Now look at Miss Karen, I'll tell you this. What is your role? Step up just a little bit. What is your role in this? You become a conduit of faith. Mm-hmm. To get his will from heaven. He works only through faith. He needs a conduit. So you pray, you get his word, you get his will. And then you become the conduit to get his will from heaven into the earth and into this situation. It takes faith. Say it takes faith. What do? You go to God. And you say, God, What is your word concerning my boy? What is your word concerning my daughter? Then you go to God and you say it. Then God starts talking to you. Pretend like you're talking to me. Yeah. All right. I hear that. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Thus says the Lord. The captive of the warrior will be released. The plunder of the tyrant will be retrieved. For I will fight those that fight you. And I will save your children. Oh, that's what you do. Oh, then you go back to God. You get up on your feet. You go back to God. You look at God. You say, God, what are you saying about him today? What are you saying about him? Say, okay, yeah, all right, yes. Thus says the Lord, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Oh! I want you to look at me this morning. I drove to Florence on a word from the Lord to awaken the intercessors at Grace House to tell you you matter. To your family. You can't let what they've said to you in the past hurt you so bad that you cut them off and leave them to the destruction and the plan of the enemy. That's what the enemy will try to do. He'll try to get you so hurt and so paralyzed by the pain. The enemy will do anything to make you stop praying. To get you so offended at your daughter-in-law or your son-in-law. Or your family member. Maybe it was a flesh and blood sister or brother. Family member to get you so offended that you'll just stop. Just forget it then. He will do anything for that. Because even the enemy knows the power of your prayer when you get the word of God. Now, last thing I'm going to tell you, we're going to pray. I want to tell you this from experience. When you get a word from God, don't be surprised or shaken if they get worse. All right? Because the word's being tested in you. But it will never return void. So don't you be shaken if you're doing everything you know to do and it's been a long time and you've been praying, believe it, and it's gotten worse. If you just stand there and look at them, what they're saying, and that addiction, and suddenly it looks like that the gender confusion's getting worse. Maybe you see the darkness getting worse. Maybe you see the addiction getting worse. If you do this all day long, that's what you're going to believe. That's what you're going to start thinking. If this is what you do, and you look at them all day, every day, and the Lord told me to tell you this morning, you've been looking in the wrong place. You look at me. You hold on to them, but you look at me. Come on. And when it gets worse, you just say, God, he's getting worse. God, it's hard right now. God, did you hear what he said? And the Lord's telling you this morning, you look at me. Just don't let them go. You hold on. And you keep looking. And you keep standing. And don't you move from your post. Don't you give up and move from your place. Just stay right there. You are critical to this situation. You are critical to their deliverance. Jesus paid the ultimate price. But they've got to have somebody to stand in the gap and decree his love. And God's going to give you the strength to do it. Someday, this is what's going to happen. The word will never return void. When God's got an intercessor, you say, well, Karen, they've got a will. Now, you can't control them. I had people tell me that. You can't control them. They've got their own will. True. Here's the difference. When there's an intercessor, God can help them want his will real bad, Jonah. Jonah, I'm going to help you want to go to Nineveh. Come on. Jonah, by the time we're finished, you're going to be begging to go to Nineveh. That's what happens when there's an intercessor. Yes, it's their will. But when there's an intercessor, God's got a path. God's got a way to move. God can surround them with His Word that they'll be miserable in sin. He'll break up wrong relationships. He'll move people out of the way. Until what happens at the end, and I'm closing.
Buddy,
I feel the Holy Ghost. What happens at the end, this is how this is going to happen for you. Jesus said it in Luke 11. When a strong man like Satan guards his palace, son, just step right there. Jesus even said this about Satan, a strong man. This is a stronghold you're dealing with. It's a stronghold in their mind. And Jesus said, when a strong man like Satan guards his palace, his possessions are safe until someone stronger. Oh! Until someone stronger. Come on, God. Come on. By Jesus said it like this, until someone stronger, talking about the devil, attacks him, overpowers him, strips him of his weapons, and takes off his belongings. Come on, just carries off his belongings. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Isaiah. Come on, give God praise. Your day of freedom is here. I declare that over your family, your day of deliverance is here. I just feel like we could do one thing. Before we go, I know I can have you to pray right where you are, but sometimes there's just something about, we're going to pray one corporate prayer, and we'll give it back to Pastor Eddie. But I just want you to stay for this prayer, because it's important to your family. But I feel like this morning the Lord wants you to make an effort to make a step out of the comfort zone. To say, I refuse to be comforted. And that just means if you're believing for somebody in your family that's not right with God, and you're willing to say, Miss Karen, even if it just means stepping in the aisle, I'm going to get out of this comfort zone of mine, and I'm going to step forward in behalf of them. Come on, if you're believing for somebody, get up. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Spirit of God. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Thank you, Jesus. He's here, He's here, He's here. Oh, the peace of God is here for you this morning. Oh, Jesus. Father, in your name we come. Would you just lift that loved one up before the Lord? Put their name in your hand and lift it up. Come on, standing in the gap. Right now, with one hand, I want you to take the hand of God. With the other hand, I want you to lift up the name of that person right there. Just hold the other hand up for them. Father, in the name of Jesus, here we are. You said, Lord, in Ezekiel, you were looking for somebody. You didn't find anybody. And the land was destroyed. But, Lord, in 2023, not the case. You're looking for somebody to stand in the gap for these loved ones. Here we are. Here we are, refusing to be comforted. Here we are. Here we are, God. Lord, here we are as intercessors, standing in the gap, believing you, God, that your promises are true. Lord, I declare your word is stronger than their bondage. Oh, I feel that. I declare the word of God is stronger than their addiction. The word of God is stronger than that lie of gender confusion. I declare the word of God is stronger. The blood of Jesus is stronger than the deception. The blood of Jesus is stronger than that addiction in Jesus' name. Father, I pray right now that spirit of rebellion is broken. I pray even apathy is broken.
I pray right now that those that just seem to have a cold heart, their heart is being made tender. It is being made soft. I pray for wrong relationships to be removed out of their lives. Come on, y'all. In the name of Jesus, I pray right now, God, move those people out of their lives. Move them out of their lives. Lord, break the wrong soul ties. Break those soul ties that are wrong. Lord, I pray right people are coming in. I pray godly relationships. Woo. Let's pray right now that all darkness is dispelled by the light of God. Darkness go in Jesus' name. Darkness go. Start saying that out loud. Just say, darkness go in the name of Jesus. That's right. You have the authority to do that. Say, in Jesus' name, darkness go. In Jesus' name, deception go. That's right. That's right. Say, truth come. Light come. Say out loud, say, let there be light in their life. Just start naming their names right now in Jesus' name. Start calling their name out. They've got a name. It's the name that God gave them. Start calling their name. Start calling their real name. Not the great name that the enemy's given them. Call their name. I want to say that again. Don't call them by the name the enemy's given them. Call them by the name God has given them. Come on, God gave you their name. That's who they are. That's who they are. In Jesus' name. Father, we give you praise. Lord, we thank you. They're coming home. Lord, I pray for these intercessors to be strengthened in faith. I pray for these intercessors to never be moved from their post. I pray for these intercessors today for their faith to be renewed. In Jesus' name. I pray that you'd raise up out of Grace House intercessors that refuse to be comforted. I pray that prayer will rise out of this house that will be heard in heaven and will release a moving of God, the awareness of God in this community. The last thing, Pastor Eddie, you can come. I declare right now over America, if you're looking for intercessors for a nation, and I know you are, here we are. Come on, standing in the gap for this nation. God, let your mercy triumph over judgment. Lord, one more time in this nation, let mercy triumph over judgment. God, will you have mercy over this nation? In Jesus' name, we pray and we declare all of America will be saved. I know that's a big one, but we've got a big God. Lord, just do whatever it takes. You know what it will take, God. Do it. Do it. Do it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Pastor Eddie, come. You know, Pastor Eddie, I want to tell you the last thing, my fourth last thing, that when Lindsay was gone, at the end of that situation before she came home, it got so bad that I remember saying to God, I had just done everything I knew to do. I'd done everything I knew to do. And it had gotten so impossible. And I just remember saying to God one day, and I meant it. I said, God, you know what to do. Meaning to bring her to her knees. I said, God, you know what to do. Then I just said, do it. And I don't know, but that released something of my faith. Because I didn't want her to have to go to the pig pen. But I got to the place of saying, if it means the pig pen, if that's what will bring her home, God, you know what to do to reach my daughter. Do it. And let me stand as a witness to say, she is married to her husband. Her family's 100% restored. Her ministry, everything that was taken from her, fully restored to the glory of God. Wow. My, oh my, what a word. That's so good. So good. I really believe the Lord has just touched our hearts deeply here today. This is such a needed message. I remember when I was little and growing up, and we used to have antennas for our televisions back then. And sometimes one person would go outside and would holler through the window, and they had to turn that antenna to get that signal coming in. I feel like God's done that today for a lot of people. He's got you dialed in. He's got you focused. And I believe any give up that may have been in you is gone in Jesus' name. Amen. You be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And often, I pray with people on this line, Lord, you be as merciful as you can be, but as firm as you have to be.
Wow, that's good.
To bring this about. You can rest assured that whatever he does, he'll do in love.
That's so good.
You can trust him. That's such a good word. Such a good word. Such a good word. There may be other needs in the house this morning. You feel free to stay in this altar area. I'm going to ask our prayer team members to be available. It could be someone's here. You've never given your life to Jesus. Others, you know, we're going to be having baptisms Wednesday night. We got some folks that need to go under for Jesus. You come up and let us know about that, whatever your need may be. As you exit this morning, after we dismiss, there's resources out there. Anything you'd like to say about
this? I just wanted to tell them really quick. I have a book called, you may already have it, Watching the Road, and it is the strategy of prayer that God gave me in believing for my daughter's return. But it's not just about prodigals. It's about any need. Lindsay wrote a book when she came home called The Way Home. And it's how the enemy took a girl raised in church and deceived her. She tells how it happened, and she tells how she found her way back. My other daughter wrote a book called Goodbye Girl, Hello Lady. It's the book every believing mother and grandmother wants their young daughter to read. That's a young, single girl. Those are that right there. And I've got some products in shirts and things that will just encourage your faith, and they can tell you about those at the table.
Amen. And we need ushers at the door, please, to receive the offering. And you can also put it in the offering box and just memo it.
Do I go this way?
Amen. Can we just thank the Lord one more time for what we've received here this morning? Father God, we bless you for this rich and deep word, this needed word. Lord, you so breathed on this word for us this morning. Our hearts are burning within us. Lord, our faith is reaching upward more than before. We thank you for what you've done. And Lord, I thank you that as we ready ourselves to leave this place today, I believe we're going to leave with more firepower. Lord, we're going to leave with more heavenly determination. And Lord, refusing to cease in our prayers. Thank you again, Lord, so very much. Stretch your hands toward Miss Karen. Lord, we bless our sister today in the name of Jesus. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would just fill her to overflowing. Bless her. Bless her family. Bless this ministry. Lord, bless her today in every way that she can be blessed. And we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. Thank you for being here this morning. This altar remains open. If you are in need of prayer for anything, you feel free to come up. Thank you so much.